Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Zorn,
Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here.
I'm going to bring my lute in.
Would you?
Yeah, of course.
You a big galoot?
Eric Zorn is here.
I cracked myself
columnist.
Up today, which all that that's all that
that's
matters.
All that counts. Fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune with much to discuss with us. Let's start out with the big story about Lin-Manuel Miranda, the star of the creator and star of Hamilton in Chicago. For what reason?
Well, he doesn't star in Hamilton here.
Not anymore.
But he did star here.
Right.
He was in Chicago yesterday, and I think he's still here today. They're announcing they're going to have a Hamilton-themed historical museum on Northerly Island.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to open in November. And basically, the idea was that they came into the Tribune yesterday to give us an exclusive on the story or a first look at it, thanks to Chris Jones, our theater critic. I guess they have a pretty good relationship. And
mm-hmm.
so Lin-Manuel Miranda came in with some of his people, and we had a special meeting of the editorial board, and we were allowed to bring family members because everybody wants to see Lin-Manuel Miranda. It was very cool. And they had all kinds of drawings and artist renderings of what this museum is going to look like. Essentially, it's the size of a football field, basically, and it's going to be in a tent on Northerly Island, and it's supposed to open in November. It's going to cost $35 for adults, $25 for kids.
Open year-round?
Well, it's supposed to be only for 6 months.
Oh.
They chose, like, the worst 6 months in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
November through April, whatever.
Yeah.
But my prediction is that it's going to prove to be so popular, such a draw, that they're going to extend it. And they were kind of cagey about that. They said that, yeah, they were probably going to extend the lease, that was a real possibility. I think they're hedging against it not being popular. But, you know, Hamilton is an extremely popular ticket right now.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
You and I are the last
and
two
Jasmine.
People. And Jasmine, the last three people on the planet.
See, you've got to see it. It really lives up to the hype. And I'm a person who's very, I was very skeptical going in.
You know,
Johanna, my wife, was really into the soundtrack. And we listened to it a couple of times. And I said, yeah, this is good. I'm going to enjoy this. But I've heard the soundtrack. I said, you know, but it really is terrific. It lives up to the hype. And the so what they're going to do is they're going to have a lot of opportunities for school kids to come in free. And the theme is historical. It's not the show. It's going to be sort of Hamilton's America, the dawn of the American experience, the Declaration of Independence, the whole thing about which the play revolves. And it's going to be this sort of immersive experience where you wear headsets, kind of like in the David Bowie exhibit and things. And you'll walk through.
The Rolling
through.
Stones as well.
Exactly. You walk through and then you'll have Lin-Manuel Miranda in your ear telling you about what the things that you're seeing, including some of Hamilton's possessions and so on. And I think it's going to be a pretty good tourist draw, even though it's going to be out on Northerly Island. They're going to have shuttle buses and everything running. I think it's an exciting development for Chicago. And it reminded me a little bit of George Lucas and his museum, right?
That didn't go so well.
It didn't go well. And I got the feeling that part of the way they were rolling this out, including giving an exclusive to the Tribune yesterday, was trying to avoid the mistakes that George Lucas made when he proposed. Now, it's a different place on the lakefront, which is, I think, gets people a little bit more excited, or a little bit more opposition more excited, because we, you know, the George Lucas Museum was right there in the museum campus between McCormick Place and Soldier Field, I think.
Which kind of makes sense to put it where the museum campus is.
That did make sense, yeah. But I think the George Lucas's problem was he didn't really lay any groundwork for this. He didn't, when he came in, it wasn't even clear what the museum was going to
That's
be.
That's where he lost it. He should have explained.
Are you going to empty your attic? Is that what you're doing, George Lucas?
Very unclear.
But these guys came in and they had blueprints for the tent that they showed us, and they actually walked us through what the exhibit was going to be like, complete with his artist renderings, you know, giving us picture after picture after picture of what it was going to look like, so that we really had a sense of what it was.
But if you're George Lucas and you hear this story today, doesn't that burn you even more to go, it's not that dramatically different. It's still on the lakefront. You know, it's still blocking some lake, which made people so angry.
But it seems tent-like and temporary.
Well,
that's the difference.
They're selling it as a temporary exhibit, and I think that it the question is, how long is Hamilton going to be a big thing? How long is that play going to be in Chicago?
Yeah.
Right now, you can't get it. You still can't get tickets. It's really hard.
Remember the old Bleacher Bums Museum? How quickly that went under?
No, you know, but, you know, it's But the thing is that it is what they're planning is a historical museum. It's something that is going to be relevant beyond the run of the play.
Right.
That Hamilton is a really interesting figure, and that this part of history is really, if it's pretty well told. I was reminded by their conversations of the Lincoln Museum in Springfield.
Yeah.
You been to that?
No.
It's got a lot of sort of interactive material. It's not just a museum.
A holographic Abe Lincoln or something.
Like that. Yeah. All kinds of things like that. That it's very engaging. And this seems like these people are theater people. And
yeah.
This is not just a musty old museum. Not that museums these days are not musty really
right.
anymore. They're much better than they were when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I'm imagining that this thing will be successful enough, and I think it's going to be a really hard ticket to get also, that they're going to want to extend
it
beyond 6 months.
Yeah.
And at some point maybe they'll say, well, it's a tent, but let's make the walls a little bit firmer now and have it be permanent there.
Right.
It could last there, I could think.
Is there enough content to fill? I think you said it was roughly the size of a football field. Is there enough content to fill that big of a space?
They say there is. Yeah. There's a lot.
Perhaps Thomas Jefferson will stop by.
Maybe.
No, he said it's not going to be like Colonial Williamsburg. You're not going to see people dressed up like churning butter and stuff like that. It's going to be.
I'm out.
So you're out. It's
I don't want to see
it. It's not for you. One thing we didn't know is they're leasing the land from the Park District.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't say how much they're leasing it for. Now, if you remember what they were going to sell the land to Lucas for $1.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Just
right.
to get it done.
Just to get it done, they wanted to have that spot there. Mayor Emanuel was not part of this presentation yesterday. He gave us a quote for our story, but he was not there. And I think that part
says
of this
something.
Was they wanted to keep him separate. They wanted to make this not a Rahm Emanuel plan, but they wanted us to be Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's a great guy. I mean, he was terrific in this. Have you seen him interviewed and so on?
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, he's charming and funny and everything right. else, and you got to really respect what he's done. So
yeah.
So it was really exciting to have
good
that.
News.
And we got this exclusive at this meeting at 1 o'clock, but we were told that we couldn't say anything about it until 9 o'clock at night because we wanted to keep it really quiet until Chris Jones' story went up at 9 o'clock.
That's why
everything was embargoed, so we couldn't talk about that. And there was also another story that was going on all day that I was not allowed to talk about. So it was like,
but you can talk about it now.
I can talk about it now.
Can you talk about it in 2 minutes?
Oh, I really would like to talk about it now. Can we do it now?
Oh, Eric, stop it!
I don't
Come
think
on.
We can. I think in 2 minutes we can do it.
Oh, okay.
So stay tuned, everybody. Find out at the story that Eric Zorn was not allowed to talk about yesterday, but he can today. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is our guest, columnist for the Chicago Tribune. He was told point blank, here's two stories you cannot talk about
yes.
until a given time yesterday. One was the Lin-Manuel Miranda story. What was the other?
Well, the Lin-Manuel Miranda story was this museum that they're putting up on the lakefront, and they said we couldn't talk about it until 9 o'clock when Chris Jones's exclusive story broke on Tribune.com, so we were sitting on it for all this time. The other story we couldn't talk about had to do with the Tribune coming to the Tribune newsroom and its union effort coming to terms with Tronc, our corporate overlords. And we'd struck a deal with them that they were going to recognize our union without a union election, which was a huge deal. A little bit of the back history is like back in December, like a handful of newsroom employees got together with the Communications Workers of America and to see about forming a union because they're worried about what the corporation's going to do.
Right.
You know, as everybody in media is these days, we're worried about, a hedge fund buying us or what these
right.
people who are investing in, and how are we going to protect the newsroom, how are we going to protect the journalists here. And this turned into a union movement during the spring, during the winter, I guess, the cold months. And we started this campaign, and I joined it kind of late, but I put my name on the organizing committee. And essentially what that meant is that this group of us, about 40 of us, including Mary Schmeek, Rex Hupke, Clarence Page.
All writers
Heidi,
or mostly
Heidi,
writers?
Heidi Stevens. Oh, there were a lot of writers, but a lot of other newsroom people too. I mean, these were sort of the names of people, Michael Phillips, people would recognize their names. And Mary Wisniewski, the transportation writer. Those people lent their names in some places some effort to this. And we started this campaign of getting people to sign union cards, which is, you have to sign a card. You guys probably joined unions before. You have to sign a card saying you want to be represented.
Yeah.
And then if you get more than 50% of the employees covered, then they have to have an election. That's the National Labor Relations Board has this rules that you have to have a union election if you get more than 50%. Well, we got about 85% of our newsroom, this includes the suburban papers, to sign cards saying we want a union. And so then we were expecting to go to hearings with the National Labor Relations Board about who can be in the union, who can't, what the size of the bargaining units and all this other stuff. And that was supposed to happen last week. But before it happened, Tronc, the company, just said, okay, we're not going to go through this whole awful, polarizing, painful election process. And that can be a really ugly thing where, you know, they're making the case against the union has to make the case against management, things get really nasty. We were hoping, we thought it was a really vain hope that they would just recognize us. And at first they said they wouldn't. But then last Wednesday, they said, okay, we'll recognize you without an election, which is a big deal.
Very strange.
It's played really big as a national story because this is like, it looks like a real surrender. I'm not totally sure why they did it exactly, but I think part of it has to do with the fact that things are in flux in print journalism, and I don't think they wanted to go through a long, painful fight either. We made it clear. The organizing committee made it clear this was not about problems we have with our managing editor or with Bruce Dold, who's our editor and publisher. This was about our concern with how the corporation is allocating resources.
Yeah.
And this is the Tronc, and they own a bunch of papers, including the LA Times, Baltimore Sun, and so on. So they agreed to this, to recognizing this union, which is the first time in the 170-some-year history of the Tribune that there's been a union.
That's the part that surprises me the most.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that hadn't happened years and years and years ago.
Well, one reason is that because, you know, the Sun-Times has been unionized for a long time.
Yeah.
And so some ways the Tribune kept up with that. And the other ways, you know, the Chicago Tribune, the newspaper, has always been, I think, pretty good to its employees historically. Was good enough to its employees that they staved off any union organizing efforts. I mean, they paid us pretty well. They gave us pretty good raises and so on. Things have been tougher lately, obviously, in print journalism. I think most of us have been fairly understanding as to the fact that we're not getting raises anymore for the most part. But then there's a sense of like they're cutting staff, they're cutting important people. They're also paying Michael Farrow $5 million a year as a consultant, which is just absurd and obscene and enraging. So there's all these things kind of came together. But it was really big news, and we had to agree. In order for this agreement to go through, nothing could leak out about it until 7 o'clock last night. Absolutely nothing. We couldn't put it on social media. We weren't supposed to tell.
Boy, that's trusting a lot of people.
That's a lot of journalists. A lot of people who love scoops. Like to get the word out. So it was a very interesting time where we were like sitting on this story all day.
Yeah.
And there was talk. There were some people at our newsroom who were saying like, why we don't want it Sunday night. We want it Monday afternoon. We think it'll be more impactful then. And they were really mad, thinking we need to negotiate this. And other people were saying that this is a really good deal. It wasn't a perfect deal for us. I just wanted to be clear that we had to separate into three bargaining units, instead of just one for all the employees that were covered. And that was one of the concessions that we had to make. But there was
that go by how long you've been here? Or
no, it has to do with what company you're working for. Yeah. And the Tribune owns a bunch of suburban papers, the Naperville Sun, Lake County Sun, Southtown, Daily Southtown, papers like that. Those are in a separate bargaining unit from the actual downtown Tribune.
Yeah.
So that was a separation that we weren't truly happy about, but we realized that if we had gone to the National Labor Relations Board to arbitrate that it could have come out worse for us.
Oh, probably.
So our attorneys, the attorneys for the union, said this is a really landmark, spectacular deal. We should take it. We did. Last night at 7 o'clock, everything went boom. We had this social media onslaught. We got covered. We had a lot of news coverage around the country.
Great.
NPR had a really good story on it this morning and last night, actually.
Delivered quietly. As they always do.
Delivered in dulcet tones.
Yeah.
And Bruce Dold, our editor and publisher, wrote, I thought, a very gracious note saying, this is what's happening. We're all going to keep working together
That's
to provide
perfect.
Quality
Good.
Journalism. And this is something that
Good.
I think is going to protect journalism in town.
I do, too.
Protect reporters.
I do,
and
too.
Keep that going.
So and Wendy and I kept wondering, because you'd come in and you would quote lines from Norma Rae, and we'd go, why does he keep doing that? Now it makes sense.
And when I stood on the desk and holding the union sign,
right.
Now you know why.
That was
now
excellent.
You know why.
Look for the union label.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much,
Stronger
Eric.
Together.
Yep. Yes. That's Eric Zorn, everybody, from your Chicago Tribune, the newly unionized Chicago Tribune. Thanks. Good to see you.
I'm overtime now. You owe me.
Yeah. We'll pay up. We'll find out what's coming up next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.